We are now at the fourth position in soul, the position of soul as principle. And in prayer, the focus is stated as follows. Through realizing that reformation occurs as we work in accordance with the divine principle of being. And so I have here that I have to ask myself a very deep and pertinent question. To what degree can I abnegate my personal selfhood along with relinquishing the false elements that have bound it? Can I surrender its habits, its modes of operation, its willfulness? Can I instead conform to the behavior of the divine self? Can I realize that I have no identity apart from it, that I'm one with it, and therefore must coincide my functions with its own? Am I willing to reform in this way? You can feel it just takes you into a different dimension of soul right away. Now it's not just a case of transforming that which I am and the qualities that I'm made up of, but being so in accord with that divine soul that I do what it does, that its habits are my habits, that its operation is my operation, that its function is my function. And you can hear the echo here that one on the physical level then is talking about the function of the body. We often think of function as just being over there in principle, but if you're referring to the function of your identity, the function of your psyche, the function of your body, it's over here in soul. Soul is principle. So that's the question that I'm addressing now. Am I willing then to realize that my identity functions in the same manner as the identity of the infinite soul of being? And I have asked, am I willing to reform in that way? And I pray so. For, think about it, what could be more freeing than dropping the weight of a personal self, a personal body? What could be more joyous than being released from the lure of the poles, from the need to be selfish or overcompensate by being self-sacrificing? You see how right on the place value we were during the break when we were talking about selfishness and self-sacrifice, right? Because those are modes of operation of the self. It's not just a quality of being here that we're talking about, but the way the self operates. But whether I'm appearing to be selfish or self-sacrificing, those are both self with a little s, with a little I. And so therefore, am I willing then to move away from those poles? Am I willing instead to turn within to the divine self with a capital L, S, and therefore find the place of my being that is selfless? In other words, has no self independent of the divine self, but is part and parcel of that divine self with a capital S. Am I willing, right? Can I feel the joy that would be involved in being released from guilt and penalty? Can you imagine to be free of that combination of guilt and penalty, of worrying about whether I've broken the law of soul and therefore must pay the price? Because one is just the other pole of the other, you know? Guilt draws in penalty, and penalty draws in guilt. You have an oppressed and an oppressor, and it's not outside of your own being. I am both the oppressed and oppressor. I am both the guilty party and the penalizer, depending on which end of the pole I have fluctuated to. But where I need to be, and where the joy would be to be in the center. To be so still and to be in the center and to be identified by that soul so well that its operation is my operation, its function is my function. Therefore, I cannot have a function outside of it. If I don't have a function outside of it, I won't incur guilt or penalty. I won't be selfish or self-sacrificing. I will be selfless. And its mode of operation will be my mode of operation. It's really that simple. And then I have down here, who would endure physical or mental suffering if they knew how to be acquitted from the sentence? Nobody that I know of. Therefore, feeling that way, I really wish to abnegate my personal self and to reconstruct its foundation so that I may be allowed to sit in the holy temple and not depart from it, to stay there. You can hear the symbols from the Bible coming in there. Depart not from the temple. That's where we are now. We've made it to the temple, and now we're being told, stay here. You're in the center, stay there. Don't depart from the temple. Let the principle of that temple, let the principle of that soul dictate the activities of your identity. Dictate the activities of what appear to be your psyche or your body. So I hear the divine soul of being, the principle of that soul blessing me with its continual transmissions, and in those transmissions, in essence, saying to me, let this divine reconstruction take place within you. Let it take place. May the harmonious soul of being then bring me into correspondence with its modes of operation. Of course, it's doing it all the time. It's just that I have to allow that to happen within my being. May it hold me, I have here, to its center, where it can govern my instinctive responses. Oh, that would just be wonderful, to let it control my instinctive responses. Then I wouldn't have to be concerned at all whether they were coming from an animal level, a psychic level, or a spiritual level. I'm in the temple. I'm in the city. I've already made the journey. Now stay there and let the divine soul of being dictate my activities, dictate the functions of my identity. It's great. Let the principle of that soul structure the elements of my identity. It's wonderful. You see, all the elements that it's made up of in its identity, I'm made up of. But they're not just random elements. The elements within the identity of being are structured. Therefore, the elements within my being, within my identity, have to be structured too. Otherwise, I'm not really in accord with that identity. So I have here then, let the principle of that soul structure the identities of my being, the elements of my identity, of what appears as my psyche or my body, authorizing then their functions, and let it correlate the relationship of these functions into one harmonious system, identical to the organized selfhood of the divine. It sounds like a mouthful, but it's really very simple. That divine identity has a structure, and it organizes itself into that structure. And since it is a self-organized identity, then I too am a self-organized identity, and as it functions, I must function. As it systematizes, I must systematize. It's really that simple. And if I'm not functioning in that manner, then I'm simply not in accord. So the question here is, can I stay in the city? Can I stay in the temple? Can I not depart from that quiet place, from that balanced place, in order that the principle of the soul of being can authorize the functions of my identity, can interpret the functions of my identity, can interpret the structure of my identity for me, and keep me, therefore, functioning properly, gives an enormous clue to healing, doesn't it? I know that the divine soul is forever doing this for me. It has to be, because I'm not outside of it. It is doing this for me. It is making sure that I stay in the kingdom. It's making sure that I stay in the temple of stillness. It's making sure that I'm centered, that I'm balanced, and that I never wander off or get lost. Can't you just feel here and see why the symbology in the Bible, in the third day, the counterfeit is to wander, just to wander aimlessly? But no, the principle of that soul, the structure of that soul, the system of that soul is forever keeping me centered in the city and not allowing me to wander aimlessly. It's keeping me from wandering. It's giving me direction within my own being. It's so freeing. It's so secure. And if I fall into the error of dreaming, and seem to perceive and feel and sense that I'm wandering, it will arouse me from that dream. It will transform me. Though suffering could be its means, should I resist. You know, the soul of being doesn't suffer. And I would never suffer if I didn't resist the pull of soul, the authority in this instance of soul. Soul saying, stay in the temple, stay in that quiet place, let me authorize your functions, let me govern your activities. And if you do, you'll never suffer, ever. There will be no bodily suffering. There'll be no psychic suffering, not in that way, no. Just don't resist the call of soul when it says, stay here. The authority of soul when it says, stay here. Don't get lured off. Don't let the false symbols lure you off to the poles and then wander out there aimlessly, not knowing how to find your direction back. No. Stay in the middle of that temple. Stay in the middle of that sanctuary. Stay in the center where it's absolutely still. There won't be any suffering. And if it seems to test me, while I appear to be in the desert of human hope, while I am appearing to be out wandering but hoping that I can get back, it's only to show me where the kingdom is. It's only to force me back to the center. It's only to bring me back into the quietude of my own true identity. It's only to show me the superiority of that kingdom. In case I should be blocking my own return. That's all. See, it's just like the transmissions are just coming down and coming down and coming down and coming down, that little center pole. I know that's just an analogy, but they're just coming down. And as long as I'm in the center, I'll feel them, I'll sense them, I'll obey them. And this is the place value of obeying them, of functioning in the same manner that that soul functions. But if I'm out in limbo somewhere, obviously the magnetic draw of soul is going to pull me back. And if I resist, then it's going to be like a tug-of-war, right? And if it's a tug-of-war, then obviously I'm going to feel like I'm being hurt, because soul is going to win. I'm not going to win. Soul is going to win. The principle of soul that is authorizing this activity, it's going to pull me back. And if I'm resisting and pulling the other way, I simply feel like I'm being hurt and like I'm suffering. And it actually is that simple. So if I find myself in that position, then it's very clear. I just simply have to go back, possibly all the way to mind, get myself very quiet and centered in mind, then go into spirit through the questions or whatever and get myself very centered in spirit until all is divine reflection, and then go into soul and embark on that journey where I go into the quiet center, the quiet temple of my own being, until I can change and transform, and then in this wonderful place value function, act in accordance with, be selfless, not selfish or self-righteous, but be selfless, not be guilty or penalizing, not incur guilt or penalty, not be an oppressed or an oppressor, but be selfless in soul. I get off the place value, then I have to find out where I am here, right? It wants me to sense what I am. And it really won't give up. So, I'm the one that has to give up, right? I'm the one that has to give up being a private self. I'm the one that has to abnegate my private selfhood. Because soul is not going to give up on me. Because soul doesn't know anything about me being a private self apart from itself. Because soul has no fragmentation within it. Soul is principle. Soul is principled. Therefore, soul is structured. And that structure is a one structure. There's only one soul, right? Not many souls. There's only one soul. And therefore, I can't be separate. So it's going to pull me into my center where I can re-identify and understand that there's only one soul. And I have here in E, nothing less than my resurrection is its goal. Nothing less will it accept. It will require the total restoration of my counterfeit identity, its elements and its functions. And it will badger me until I return to its kingdom. It will not let me go until I fully abnegate my private self. Right? I'm not going to win that tug of war. It's going to win. And why should I want to win? Why should I want it to lose? Why should I want to remain outside of the kingdom, outside of its stability and safety, subject to the misfortunes that come from being disconnected and therefore unrelated? Why should I want to feel fragmented. Like my whole identity is just in crisis. Why should I want that? It's a very uncomfortable feeling. Why should I not follow the bidding of soul and return to my rightful home, the heaven of my true identity? Why should I not resurrect? Why should I not? Gosh, when you look at it that way, you just feel really foolish for wanting to do anything else except abnegate your private self and what it wants to do. Which brings us quite naturally to the fifth position, which is epitomized in prayer as follows: through realizing that heaven is reached through an understanding of being's impartial mercy. Doesn't that feel good? First time we don't feel a real strong demand on us. And yet there is a question here, nonetheless, something I do have to be really open to. And the question is, am I ready for the revelation of my own immortality? Do I wish to evolve to a higher state? On my journey heavenward, can I not only move into the sacred sanctuary, but abide there, live there, until I am restored to my true identity, until I am transformed to the likeness of the divine soul of being, mercifully regenerated by its spiritual energy? And this is a concept that maybe you haven't consciously addressed before, but I think that you'll find that it's superior and wonderful and very freeing. And if I do this, if it means to sacrifice the mortal sense of myself, to totally yield my limited sense of being an independent soul, having a body which requires physical and mental sustenance, if it means to give up being subject to entropy and the cycles of birth and death, to give up time, mind you, can I? Will I? Would I voluntarily relinquish my present sense of self? It's an enormous question. And if I would, can I be centered enough, balanced enough to alter my energy input and mutate to this higher selfhood? Am I this revolutionary I have here? I don't know if I can explain this well enough. But if you're really in the center, absolutely centered and absolutely still, and those divine transmissions from soul are yours, you've locked into them and it has absolutely altered your characteristics, then in the principle of soul, it's altered your function, it's altered your structure. Then what happens in the life of soul is that because that's been altered, you're then really in accord with the soul of being, and its transmissions are yours. Its energy, therefore, is your energy. And once it is your energy, then it metamorphosizes you. You know, there's a transformation that goes on in there. I mean, you've resurrected. So it's a case of energy transformation, really. So, you know, all we're ever doing, whether we recognize it or not, is raising our energy level. It's like raising frequency to the highest frequency, you're raising the energy level too. until you can just receive the energy of the divine soul of being. It's as if being out on the periphery and down in what appears to be the physical body realm, one is operating at a very low frequency, a great time sense, and therefore the energy is very low. And so it's almost like an influx of... I know you've all experienced it. When you're in a high state of prayer, a high state of law, when you've been quiet, when you're in the center, all of a sudden you just feel enormous surges of energy. And they can't be described. You just feel them. And it isn't a physical energy. It's a spiritual energy. You know it. You feel it. And at that moment, if there's been a physical problem, it's healed. I mean, there's a metamorphosis that takes place. So therefore, I really want to be that revolutionary. I want to be brave. I want to have the courage to progress to that selfless state, to willingly make the entire journey from sense to soul, not just go partway and then chicken out and stop, but to make the entire journey. I want to rediscover what it's like to be continually rejuvenated by this soul, to be so much a part of it that I experience its timeless, effortless regeneration. I don't know if I can explain what I saw, but I could see that coming from the divine soul of being, having nothing to do with the human picture, it's just the soul of being itself desiring to objectify itself, and that it's always regenerating its object, it's always regenerating its image. Not in a time way at all, but in an instantaneous kind of regeneration that enables it to be soul as life, that enables that soul to always be in a state of nowness, a state of newness, to always be rejuvenated, to always have its full energy, to never have lacked or lost any part of itself, to not have fallen heir to entropy, which really comes from falling heir to the belief of time, that we have an identity that's operating in a time frame and therefore is, just not energized in its full way. So the soul of being is eternally giving existence to its identity. Therefore, to my identity, it's reproducing and giving life to its image and likeness. It's just doing that. It needs to be expressed. It desires to objectify. It would therefore never withhold the divine energy and make this objectification not possible. It pours forth quite naturally in order to bring its object, its identity, into being, and therefore no facet or part of this identity could ever be deprived of this bountiful gift, of this kind of high energy, for this identity is indivisible, right? So no facet of itself can be left out. Its parts never separated, I have here, one from the other. Therefore, the entire individuality of it, of soul, is given life, and ever it will be so.